And welcome back, guys. It's been a long time. We've been talking about this. We are finally going to be doing our preview for the NBA, specifically the Western Conference today. And I got my two boys here, and we're going to be previewing every single team. And we've put a lot of discussion into this, both, you know, planning for this episode and just talking. So thank you for listening. The way we're going to do this, actually, before I even talk about that, stay tuned because we're going to have an Eastern Conference preview, and then more than likely, we're going to do something about which teams or players are under the most pressure to win this season. So we're really excited to have you guys with us. And the way it's going to work is we have three tiers. We don't think we should be going super in-depth for every single team because, I mean, would you agree not every team deserves that?
No, 100%. I'm not even going to say a team out there, but there's some teams that are basically just dead on arrival.
Exactly. And that was kind of so we're going to have the contender tier, the mid tier, and the dead on arrival tier. And we're going to jump straight into it. You guys ready?
We're ready. Let's go.
All right. And then so the first team we're going to be covering is the Denver Nuggets. As you guys know, they fired Mike Malone, they promoted David Adelman, and then they added Cameron Johnson, Bruce Brown, Tim Hardaway Jr., among a couple other players. Now, how is Adelman going to be able to handle the new moving parts? Can Denver be a contender this year? Are they going to be mid, or are they dead on arrival? I'll let my boy E take it from there.
No, 100%. When it comes to the Denver Nuggets, you have to be a contender. You have Nikola Jokic. Anytime you have Nikola Jokic, you have to be a contender. You know, you getting rid of MPJ, bringing in Cam Johnson, you know, in a way that movement, it is a cheap move that also expands on what the Denver Nuggets need. They need someone who's a shooter, but also who could spray the ball a bit. What MPJ did, which is something that Denver really lacked, is that every time he got the ball, he was a ball stopper. What that means is that every time he got the ball, he just wanted to shoot. He wanted to score. He wasn't looking to pass it out. He wasn't looking for anything. That was his role. Now, when it comes to Cam Johnson, he is much a better sort of, you could say, shooter. He's a better knowledge when it comes to his passing ability. He's the type of player that Denver needs in that sort of situation. In my opinion, you having Jamal Murray, you having Christian Braun, you still having Aaron Gordon, you know, San Jose represent, you're still having Jokic. These sort of players, in the situation that they're in, they have to be contenders. In my opinion, I feel like Jokic is going to go back, or is really going to stay in his MVP sort of level. And you have to have the MVP level with a championship run. So for me, the Denver Nuggets locked in contenders. Anything less than, in my opinion, a 3 seed in the West, I feel like it's sort of a panic mode to the Denver Nuggets, and it's a panic mode for what could be the future of Nikola Jokic, because it's been said that they are not afraid to trade Nikola Jokic. So for me, that is a big thing they need to do. They need to be contenders.
Yeah, I have them in the contender category. I agree with E that anything less than a 3 seed would be a failure. Now, one thing about the Nuggets, last year they were 25th out of 30 defense, and I think that's going to have to improve if they're going to want to take that next step. Moving on to the next team in the division, the Minnesota Timberwolves obviously had a pretty good season last year, made it all the way to the Western Conference Finals. They did beat our Golden State Warriors, unfortunately. But Ant is a pretty polarizing player. I happen to be a fan of him. The question for this season, can they contend with Oklahoma City in the West? Do you think they are contender, mid, or are they dead on arrival?
When it comes to the Minnesota Timberwolves, they have to be a contender. In my opinion, they're mid. But the only reason I'm saying they're mid is because their team is sort of in a limbo period. And the reason why I say that, you have your superstar in Anthony Edwards. You have Ant-Man. But you have an aging Mike Conley, possibly still as a starter. You have an unproven second-year player in Rob Dillingham, which they're expecting him to be the starting point guard. We don't know that for sure. His season was sort of an up and down sort of season. You know, he only averaged 4 points, you know, 2 assists, 1 rebound, 44% from the field. In my opinion, that sort of stats tell me that he's more of a year 2, year 3, year 4 sort of player. So in my opinion, it's still going to be Mike Conley running the point guard position. You have Jalen McDaniels, which is kind of like the everyman sort of player. So in my opinion, he's going to be somebody who needs to step up from 12 points to a higher sort of level, especially because we don't want, if I'm the Minnesota Timberwolves, I don't want Ant-Man to be having the whole load when it comes to the offense. In my opinion, he needs to be sort of being helped out. And that is where Julius Randle comes in. He is sort of the catalyst of whether or not Minnesota could move up. Because last year, you only scored around 18 points per game, max 19. That is not the sort of numbers you need from your second star when it comes to scoring. So for me, they're mid. And the big thing, the one thing that I know a lot of Minnesota Timberwolves fans are talking about. You got rid of Karl Anthony Towns, who was actually playing good in New York. The one person you kept over him is Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert is 33. He's looked a little bit slower last season. Now going in to, you know, age 34, how much slower is he going to be? And is he still going to be the defensive monster that you are hoping he is, especially with the contract he has? Are you expecting him to still be that defensive guy? Or is he really going to step back? And now you're hoping that your bench, which has Dante, Rob Dillingham, Naz Reid, you're hoping for them to actually pick up that defensive slack. But guess what? No one except possibly Dante are actually defensive players. And Dante's a guard. So now you have one defender, which is aging out. And then you have another forward who is not a defender. And so that's what one thing I feel like Minnesota is really going to be lacking. Is they're not really going to have that punching power when it comes to their offense. Ant-Man's going to be carrying that load again. And then defensively, an aging Mike Conley, you know, possibly aging out Rudy Gobert. I don't know. For me, they are mid-tier, even though they made it all the way. But I feel like now Denver's going to pick up that slack. You know, there's other teams we're going to be talking about, which, in my opinion, are going to pick up the slack as well. So for me, Minnesota goes down to the mid-tier.
Mid-tier? For me, they're going to be contenders. Mm-hmm. They're complete contenders to make it all the way to Western Conference Finals or even to the NBA Finals.
Juan, to your point, so in all my research for this, it seems like the expectation this year amongst, you know, the team and the fans is like, it's finals or bust. And like, yeah, I think their starting lineup can compete with virtually anybody, but I don't know if I like them to be a contender, kind of like E was saying. And then moving on to the next one, really not a lot has to be said for this team, and that is the Oklahoma City Thunder. After years of torment, they finally broke through and won a finals. They might have lost if our friend Halliburton didn't get hurt, but nevertheless, they dominated the league last year. They were the best team from start to finish, and they were the champs. And they bring back virtually everyone of note, and I think they should be able to contend again this season. But what are you thinking for Oklahoma City?
Guaranteed contender. Nowhere near anything to be said. They brought back Shea. They brought back Jalen Williams. Bring back Dub. They brought back Chet in a big contract. The top three are set. They're all super young. You know, Dort, one of the best defenders, is right there. You have Isaiah Hartenstein, a rock in defense, somebody which, in my opinion, the New York Knicks should have never let go, but they did. Now he's a champion. And even off the bench, you know, Cason Wallace, a young player, which is kind of a spark plug. Caruso, again, you know, for my Lakers, great defender, great sort of energy person you need off the bench. Nikola Topic, a unproven young point guard that's looking to be promising. You know, Aaron Wiggins. You know, in my opinion, when it comes to Oklahoma, their depth is probably the best in the league, but also their starting lineup is probably the best. So for me, there's nothing more to be said. They're fully contenders. In my opinion, they're probably the bet-on favorite to go back-to-back.
Yeah, that was one of the ones that was going to be super easy. And then next, this one is going to be, I think, easy in the other direction. That is the Portland Trailblazers, who you know, they traded for Jrue Holiday, and then they brought back a familiar face in Damian Lillard. They also added rookies Yang Hansen and Caleb Love. But what are you guys thinking with the Trailblazers this year? I personally have, they have a soft spot for him because of Damian Lillard. I mean, unfortunately for the Trailblazers, they have to be dead on arrival. Their fans may be hoping for a lottery pick, in my opinion. What are you guys thinking for Portland this year?
Dead on arrival. There's nothing more to be said. You know, again, I also have a soft spot when it comes to Dame, when it comes to Portland. You know, they've looked like they're a franchise that will back up their players. But again, when it comes to their players that they have, there's no one that's even remotely close to a star, let alone a superstar. Like, yes, you could say Dame, but he's going to be out for a year, if not a year and a half. And the rest of the players, Jrue Holiday, super old. Shaedon Sharpe is sort of injury prone. Deni Avdija, a very improved player, in my opinion, one of the best players that Portland has. They cannot afford to lose him. Keep Deni. Deni will be going through that. You know, Tomari Kamara, a sort of sort of player. Okay, decent. And then Klingon, second year player, which honestly wasn't really the best. So for me, dead on arrival, nothing more to be said. The more I say, I feel like that's the more I'm wasting my breath.
Sorry, Portland. For me, you're dead too.
All right, and then moving on to the next one, we have the Utah Jazz, who drafted Ace Bailey while adding Walter Clayton Jr., RJ Lewis Jr., and while also adding vets Kyle Anderson, Kevin Love, and then Nurkic. This team tanked pretty hard last year. I'm not expecting a lot from them this season. I would have to say dead on arrival, unless, E, do you have any more insight than I do to the Jazz this year?
When I tell you they're more dead on arrival than Portland, their top pick, would probably be one of their best players, maybe second best next to Lauri Markkanen. Ace Bailey. There was a rumor during draft night that he said specifically, if you draft me, I won't play for you. If you draft me, I will do everything I can to get out of here. And that is towards Utah. Allegedly. Again, it came a rumor. So, if you're now your young prospect is doesn't want to be there, are you really telling me that a team full of, I don't want to say this word, but everyone except maybe Lauri and Walker Kessler are bums, are trash. So they're dead on arrival. They're dead on arrival.
All right, then we're moving on to the next division. That is the Southwest Division, with probably the most polarizing team in the league last year, which is saying a lot. And that is the Dallas Mavericks. Of course, they drafted Cooper Flagg, and then they added D'Angelo Russell with the departure of Spencer Dinwiddie as well. Will Cooper Flagg help this franchise heal after the Luka Doncic trade? And do you think there is any chance they can possibly contend this year? I'm going to say they're mid. They've got talent on their team, but they cannot compete with the top dogs in the Western Conference. What do you say for the Mavericks?
They're mid. And the reason why I say they're mid is because you're relying on an aging Anthony Davis, and then you're relying on, and this is a quote not by me, but by a lot of people out there, the great white hope, Cooper Flagg. I think it was on ESPN, they call him the great white hope. Honestly, you're relying on an aging Anthony Davis. You're relying on a rookie, again, first overall pick, but still a rookie, Cooper Flagg. And then the rest of the team are sort of, you could say, either getting out of the league, Klay Thompson, or, you know, holding on to a spot in the league, D'Angelo Russell, or really relying on another young player, which in my opinion, and these are some fun facts, I'm pretty sure today it came out that Derek Lively grew like 1 or 2 inches. So he's now like 7'3" as a center. So you having now sort of two sort of big sort of defensive centers playing next to each other, Derek Lively and Anthony Davis. But the one big question, and this is honestly for next year, not really for this year, how does Kyrie Irving coming out of his injury, where does he fit in? Because this team, in my opinion, they're sort of looking at next year. Whatever results they comes out of this year, they'll take. But next year is really going to be the big question. So for me, they're mid. They will enter the contenders. There's also a rumor going out that Anthony Davis is getting bigger. And when I mean bigger, he's getting sort of the Zion treatment. So he's saying that over the offseason, he's been constantly going up to 15 pounds. So for an aging sort of center, which has a lot of knee, ankle problems, getting bigger isn't really a good thing. So for me, Mavericks, they're mid. They probably will be fighting for play-in. So I feel like they're mid. Nothing really more to add.
They're just mid.
I feel like with all the veterans they have on their team, like if you were to get them in a playoff series, they could be kind of scary if they got the right matchup. But again, like they're mid, like you said. Moving on to a team that might have had the biggest revolving door this offseason, and they have pretty high expectations. They lost to their father last year, Curry, who beat them for the fifth time, the Houston Rockets. Now, obviously, the Rockets added Kevin Durant. They also added Finney Smith, Clint Capella, Josh Okogie, Isaiah Crawford, J.D. Davidson, and then they also had a rookie, Cam Matthews, but they lost Jalen Green, as we all know, Dylan Brooks, Cam Whitmore, David Roddy, and then Nate Williams. So the Rockets are an interesting team because I think we talked about, you know, in our own personal conversations, was adding Kevin Durant the right move for them long term? So to me, I don't know if they got better, but they did have kind of a dream season last year. So I'm going to say because of the moves they've made, they have to be in the contender category because if they're not, it is a colossal failure. What do you think for the Rockets this year?
They have to be contenders. You just traded for one of the best players of this century. The arguably top 15. And I know I'll probably get some flack for that because I know some people will probably put him top 10, which he's not. But a top 10 player of all time. You know what I mean? Top 15 player of all time. You add him into this system. A system that is revolving around talent all doing what they're supposed to do. But I feel like the one big thing, and it's something that had happened recently, which is a big thing for Houston. You lost Fred VanVleet. Fred VanVleet is gone. You lost your starting point guard. Your options for a backup are not good. If anything, they're probably some of the worst. We talked about Minnesota's point guard depth. Houston's horrible. You're relying on a very rookie. When I mean rookie, I mean he barely played last season. We talked about Rob Dillingham having 10 minutes. Reese Shepard had 12. And in the postseason, he had 3 minutes. Averaging 12 minutes and 3 minutes in the postseason, that's bad. And he shot worse. Similar stats, 4 points a game, one rebound, one assist, but 35% from the field, 33% from three. The only thing he did better was shoot the free throw at 81%. He is the next point guard that you hoped you were developing behind the starter. Now he possibly is the starter. Your next option is Aaron Holiday. We talked about Jrue Holiday. Aaron Holiday is sort of that brother that you forgot was still there. He is somebody that was never, and I mean, and again, I don't want to be like I'm talking bad about him, but he was never a starting point guard caliber player. His best years are probably with the Pacers, and that was back in around 2020-ish, back, you know, probably pre-pandemic times. So you have Aaron Holiday, who is not a starting caliber point guard. Reed Shepard, who is a second-year player, who is also not a starting caliber. Your next option, and in my opinion, it's your best option. There is a young guard named Amen Thompson who can play some point guard. In my opinion, you throw him up there, and he's a defensive monster. And you sort of shift everyone up in the lineup. And there's a good player, possibly Dorian Finney-Smith. Possibly Tari Eason. Those are the players you need to step up. Because when it comes to the point guard, if you have no one who could facilitate that offense, because good as Kevin Durant is in the ISO, You need Alperen Şengün to be in the offense. You need Amen Thompson to be in the offense. You need Jabari to be in the offense. And if it's just dead ball basketball, you won't go far. You need that facilitator. You need the one that could create the tempos, you know, maintain the tempos, and really play make. So for me, they have to be contenders. But if they do not fix their point guard position, they're going to struggle. So for me, contenders.
This next team has been one of the better teams in the 2010s, the Memphis Grizzlies. At one point, at midseason last year, they were second in the West, if you guys remember. And then they kind of, I wouldn't say they collapsed, but they had kind of a gradual decline last year with their defensive play in the second half. And they finished as the eighth seed. And then, of course, they ran into Oklahoma City in the playoffs. And we know how that went. They fired their coach. And then they also picked up a few vets in Ty Jerome, Caldwell Pope, and then they also added some rookies, Cedric Coward. And the thing about the Grizzlies, they're a pretty interesting team because it seems like with Ja, of course, and then not only Ja, Jaren Jackson, they've been injured quite a bit over the last few seasons. But when they've been healthy, they've been a pretty good team. So can they get back to being, you know, where they want to be? I thought at one point a few years ago, they were going to be like the next big thing in the West. I'm going to say they're mid, but what do you guys think about the Grizzlies?
For me, they're in the balance. And what I mean by that, they're in the balance between mid and dead on arrival. And the reason I say that is because this team is a shell from that team that you were talking about, D. You had a great up-and-coming guard in Ja Morant. You had a great shooting guard, you know, up-and-comer in Desmond Bane. You had a potential defensive player of the year in Jaren Jackson. And you had a serviceable, if not good, Steven Adams holding it down with Jonas Valanciunas. For me, that team was that promised team. This team is far from it. Ja never lived up to the potential of that guard. Always in that league when it comes to suspension, things of that nature. You know, Jaren Jackson, he did fulfill that prophecy of being a defensive player of the year, but that year, the Grizzlies got caught, and what I mean by that, they got caught with their scoring tables. The guy who was supposed to manage their team tables when it comes to their scoring and blocks and all that at home, he was caught actually inflating the defensive numbers of Jaren Jackson Jr. So that defensive player of the year, in my opinion, is highly questionable of whether or not he actually deserved it. And the rest of the team are mid to bad for me. For how strong the West is and how unreliable Ja is, I have them dead on arrival. I'm looking at their bench right now. It looks mid. It looks pretty trash. Other than Ja and Jaren Jackson, the rest of the players are mid to bad. In my opinion, KCP was good like 5 years ago, if not 3 years ago. This iteration of KCP ain't the best. Jalen Wells, eh? What I mean by that, he's okay. Like, he ain't really the best player. 42% from the field, 35% from three, only 10 points a game. In my opinion, he's okay. And, like, Santi Aldama ain't a center. As much as people want to say he's a center, he's 24 years old. You know, yeah, he's 7 foot, but he's only 215 pounds. I think there's some guards out there who are bigger than him. In my opinion, he ain't a starting center. So he is somebody that defensively they're going to target. So for me, I'm going to say it right now, and I hope I'm wrong because I want the West to be competitive. To where I mean by that is we don't have teams that are solidified down there. But me, Memphis Grizzlies, dead on arrival.
And so this next team for me is dead on arrival. I'm going to say it before I even mention, you know, who they are. And that is because for, I want to say, what, 5 years now, this team's fate has hinged on whether their star player, who they've paid tons of money to, can avoid injuries and stay in shape. Who am I talking about?
Zion.
Exactly. I didn't even have to mention it. Zion. I think the Pelicans are dead on arrival this season. Zion has been I'm not going to say one of the big disappointments. I'll say he's one of the big what ifs so far in his NBA career. But it's been long enough to where we've already seen everything, I think, that he wants to do with his career. They added Kevon Looney and Jordan Poole. But I'm not going to get too much into this team because I don't care about them anymore. What do you guys think about the Pelicans?
Ugh, brother. Ugh, this team is horrible. Oh, my God. Yo, shout out to Herb Jones and Trey Murphy, man. You guys are on hell. This team is tragic. Nah, man, dead on arrival. You know, again, there is a rumor of Skinny Zion again, which, again, we've had that for the past 5 years, that Skinny Zion's back. I won't believe it until I see it. I need to see Zion out there doing 360 windmills off the backboard. Like, for me to even consider them as mid. I need that of Zion. In my opinion, one of the most disappointing first overall picks. And the reason why I say that, you do realize that New York rioted, basically, for not getting Zion, not getting number one overall pick. They rioted. They expected a god to come out of this draft. And Zion has been disappointing. Everybody, and I mean everyone, even the New Orleans Pelicans, you know, office, the reason why they paid him, there was a small stint where Zion was actually decent, actually put in the points. But we have not seen that. So for me, dead on arrival, nothing more to say. But this team is tragic.
I have the same. They're just probably going to be last place or fighting for last place. And also, Zion, go to another team, please.
And then this next team, I think, is one of the more interesting ones coming into this season. And that is the San Antonio Spurs. I don't think they're going to be a contender, but what's going to be fascinating is can Wembanyama take that next step to get them back to where they want to be? So they added Luke Kornet, they added Kelly Olynyk, but also they have, I think, a really competitive roster. Harrison Barnes, never mind. De'Aaron Fox they have, and the thing about it is I can see this team being kind of a surprise team this year if Wembanyama can take a jump. So I'm going to put the Spurs in the mid category, but don't be surprised if you look up after the All-Star break and see them, you know, maybe a top 5 seed in the West. Am I crazy in saying that for this team?
You are not. The reason why I'm saying this, and again, he is somebody which, in my opinion, Wemby is the next superstar. If he stays healthy, he's next superstar. And again, when we came to somebody getting taller, I said Derek Lively was, you know, grew an inch. Wembanyama grew another inch. He is now 7'4". You were struggling with a 7'3", Wemby. He is now 7'4". What will he do? In my opinion, he's the sort of player which, if you're on 2K creator mode, and you just create this random, tall, long, lanky forward who can shoot, who can dribble, who can block shots. People thought, that's a fantasy, that's a video game. People don't be like that. We have a player right now who was 7'3". He is now 7'4". Not including shoes. You know, again, he is a player that last season was out here doing things that I've never thought I'd see. Again, I didn't think a player could just stand there, put his hand up, and block another player in the NBA. My opinion, and the reason why I'm saying this so over and over, I am drinking the Kool-Aid. I am believing in the hype. For me, Wembanyama, when healthy, if healthy, with De'Aaron Fox, with hopefully Stephon Castle, again, Harrison Barnes, we'll see what happens with him. But, you know, Keldon Johnson, Jeremy Sochan, for me. I'll be drinking the Kool-Aid right now, and I'm going to put it right here. When it comes to our categories, I'm putting the Spurs in contender. The San Antonio Spurs are going to be a contender. I'm putting this right there because I am predicting a healthy season of De'Aaron Fox. A jump of Rookie of the Year, Stephon Castle. I'm expecting Devin Vassell to still be the person. I'm expecting Harrison Barnes to be benched for Jeremy Sochan. I'm expecting it. And I'm expecting Wembanyama to have a defensive player of the year caliber. Also, with a possible sneaky MVP-like season. That's what I'm predicting. For me, the Spurs are a contender.
Are you sure? For me, it's mid because they need like at least one or two more players.
I am drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm being delusional, but guess what? Sometimes delusion works.
No, they're mid. They need one or two more key players to actually be in contender mode.
All right. And then moving on to the Pacific Division, we have a team that I think I feel confident in saying all three of us have kind of a special place in the heart. That is the redheaded stepchild of Northern California, the Sacramento Kings, otherwise known as Chicago West because of the additions of DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine. Or is it LaVine? I always say LaVine, but some people say LaVine. This team, I think, is going to be mid because they do have talent on their roster, but they just can't compete with the big dogs. They have, of course, DeMar DeRozan, Sabonis. They have Schroeder. So they've got some guys that have experience, but I just don't think they can do much in terms of making a run or even making it past the first round. I think this is a play-in team. What do you guys think?
As much hope and respect I have to the Sacramento Kings, shout out to Light the Beam. Like every good person says, never bet on the Chicago Bulls, especially modern-day Chicago Bulls. So guess what? I'm not betting on the Western Chicago Bulls. Zach LaVine, a good player, a little past his prime. So is DeMar DeRozan. DeMar Sabonis cannot defend to save his life. He cannot shoot to save his life. For me, this team is dead on arrival. For the simple fact that there is nowhere to go in the West. I'm looking at the rest of the teams we got out here. They're fighting for that 10th spot. They're really fighting for it. Because again, the teams that have dead on arrival, if you really think about it, you have Utah, you have Portland, and there's probably another team coming up that I'm going to be talking about, you know, wink, wink, coming in this division. But there's other teams out there where, honestly, and the reason why I say honestly, what more can the Kings go for? You know, you got Pelicans, you got Portland, you got Utah. I've already named off three teams. And the rest of the teams we've already talked about, we're hoping big things. You know, and I have Memphis. Do I really think that the Kings are going to be really fighting with the rest of the teams? In my opinion, no. And in my opinion, they probably will be playing. But in the West, you being playing really means you're dead on arrival. You have to be at least top eight for me to even consider you as mid. So for me, dead on arrival.
And I forgot about this team because I think they might be the definition of dead on arrival this season. They've just gone through their fourth coach in 4 years, and they lost their core. And who am I talking about? The Phoenix Suns. Of course, they have Devin Booker, Jalen Green, Dylan Brooks, Mark Williams. But if you imagine that you're a Suns fan, are you really any more excited about this team? Like, can you delude yourself into thinking this team can win a championship? They might be mid, but I'm going to say dead on arrival because they had so much optimism in 2021. They had so much optimism the last few years, and I think that's gone. I mean, of course, you know, D-Book, he's a great player. You can possibly build around him, but I think this team is dead on arrival. Is that too harsh?
Nowhere near dead on arrival. You're relying on Devin Booker, which in my opinion, he's a good player. Just that he is somebody who is not going to be carrying this team. You know, he did it when he was younger. Now, do I really think he's to that quality? Maybe. Again, Mark Williams, a very, very injury-prone player. There's a reason why he did not pass the Lakers medical. There's a reason why the Lakers pulled out of this trade. Because he is very injury prone. Dylan Brooks, deep, you know my opinion about this man. I will not speak any further. Royce O'Neal. Again, usually if I'm thinking about a team as mid, I'm like, yeah, that player could be good. Yeah, that player could be something. But I'm looking up this list. There's only two players I'm really excited for. That's Devin Booker, which I'm hoping he goes back to his 30-point per game seasons. And then Jalen Green, which I'm hoping he, like, explodes into somebody that he should have been. Because in Houston, very limited, not a good shooter, a slasher. And in this league, if you're not an efficient slasher that could do other things, your sort of mold is a dying breed. So for me, dead on arrival, nothing more to be said. You know, Phoenix will be tanking for the number one overall pick.
Dead. Just no comment.
All right, and I think we saved the three most intriguing ones for last. So this next one is EG's favorite team, and that is the LA Clippers. And this team
Slander. He's speaking slander on my name.
If you followed us before, you know it's his favorite team to hate on. Where do we even begin with this team this year? Similar to a team we're going to talk about in a minute, we can call this one the Unction because they've got so many vets on their team who you could argue were washed, but they're for sure way past their prime. They added Bradley Beal, Chris Paul, John Collins, and Brooke Lopez. And, I mean, not to even mention the trouble they got in with Kawhi, which could, I mean, it won't happen because we know Adam Silver is Adam Silver, but it could kind of blow up their whole operation. So the thing about the Clippers, I mean, look, they're going to be in the playoffs. They're going to be a good team that has, you know, they'll probably be in the second round. But the thing is, health and age. I mean, if everyone was still in their prime, this is a super team. Can this team finish among the top four? Yes. But can they make a run at it? No. I don't know. Like, on paper, yes. But I need to see it before I believe it. So this team is going to be mid for me.
Unk, put down the shoes, man. Get off the court. This team is trash. This team was good in 2019. This team was good in 2018. You know, this team is trash, man. Like, how can you rely on old Chris Paul? How can you rely on old James Harden? Unclutch James Harden. Fumble James Harden. Somebody's never done it in the playoffs, James Harden. Bradley Beal? Really? That guy that couldn't make it on the Suns team? Which the wingers were bad? Their wing options were horrible and Bradley Beal couldn't make it on that team. A alleged under-the-table paying Kawhi Leonard? You know, somebody who can't stay healthy as well? John Collins, who his... You know, you could say his most famous thing he's ever done is jump over a plane. And he broke the plane during the dunk contest. And then Zubats, I have respect. You know, I have respect on Zubats. He's actually a quality center, and this is the only player I'll actually speak good on. Because the rest of the team is trash, man. They're old, they're trash. We done with the 90s. Get the hell out of here. In my opinion, they're mid. You know, if I put my bias aside, they're mid. If not, they're trash. Get the hell out of here. The Clippers are horrible.
For me, they're mid to contenders because James Harden, yes, he's old, but he can still play. Same thing with Subash. Thank you for the fantasy championship win. And for me, they're contenders to go to the NBA finals.
It's like if you were to tell me that, oh, hey, I come from the future and the Clippers made it to the finals. Like, I would be totally shocked, but I also kind of would. So we're going to do your team first. And they got away with the fleece of the century, if you believe everything that, what's his name, Nico Collins
said. That's a Lake Show!
Exactly. So the LA Lakers, of course, they traded for Anthony Davis, or they traded Anthony Davis for Luka Doncic, and they also got a lot of help with DeAndre Ayton, Jake LaRavia, and Marcus Smart this summer. The big question for the Lakers, which is obviously something every NBA fan is going to be paying attention to, is LeBron James at, what is he, 41 years old. What is he going to look like, and how much time does he have left? But also, the Lakers kind of got burned last year because they didn't have a true center in the playoffs. I mean, you guys probably agree with that. But now they have DeAndre Ayton, so that might be able to change things for them. So what do you guys think about the Lakers? I don't like them, mainly because of LeBron, but I think they're going to be contenders this year.
We are contenders. The Lake Show, man. This is now the Luka show. Old man, Unk, we done with the 90s. Step aside. LeBron, step aside. This is now the Luka show. Skinny Luka is here. No Hookah Luka is here. We are doing this. Austin Reeves, my boy, he is out here. You know, Rui, I need you to be out there and do your thing. DeAndre Ayton, just don't be trash. That's all I'm hoping. That's all my expectation is. Don't be trash. For me, when it comes to the Lakers, this has to be the year to at least make a run. At least make it to the Western Conference Final, if not the Western Semis. I need something out of you. And the reason why I say that is that the old man is leaving, right? If we're letting LeBum go, we need to make sure we have a stable base of players we can trust. And that does not just fall on Luka. Austin Reeves was expecting a bigger contract. You know, Rui, Ayton, off the bench, you know, Marcus Smart, Vando, you know, Dalton Connect, even Bronny, if he decides to stay after his old man goes. These are the sort of players that we need to make sure they actually produce the things they need to do. But this year, the Lakers are contenders.
All right, and then we saved, in my opinion, the best for last. That is my favorite team, the Golden State Warriors. Obviously, one of the more notable teams in the league over the last, you know, 10 to 12 years. So, obviously, they signed Kuminga. They extended his deal. They also signed Seth Curry and Al Horford. And not to mention the fact that, I mean, they had a really dry offseason up until literally, I think it was yesterday. But of course, we've got Curry, Jimmy Butler, Draymond, we've got Pods, Kuminga now, Buddy Hield, Moses Moody, Gary Payton, Jackson Davis, Quentin Post. So the thing for the Warriors this year, obviously, you know, last season they lost to Minnesota, but I think a lot of people believe they would have been much closer to, or they would have beaten Minnesota if Curry was not hurt. So I think this team has, you know, the ability to push any team, maybe not beat most of these squads, but I think they're going to be somewhere between the 8 to, if we get lucky, 5 seed. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, second half of the season, the Warriors go on a little run. They maybe win, I don't know, 15 out of 20 games in you know, February and March. And then they end up avoiding the play-in tournament. I think in a playoff series, they have enough unks, as we talked about, to probably beat almost anybody. Not that I would predict that, but they have, I think, in a 7-game series, they can push anybody. I would not bet on it, but I am legally obligated to say this team is going to be a contender. So give me Warriors as a contender. I think if they get in the right series and they get in the right side of the bracket, they could make it to the Western Conference Finals, which would put them as a contender. I don't even think that's that crazy of a take. What do you guys think?
Out of respect for the Bay, my hometown, my second favorite team. Man, this team is old as well, dude. You know, I want this team to succeed. You know, in my opinion, the Warriors, Curry does not deserve this old team, man.
Can I pause you for just a second?
Go ahead.
Anyone who says he's a bandwagon for liking the Lakers and the Warriors, I can personally vouch for, like, I don't know, 15 years. He's liked the Warriors and the Lakers. Obviously, Lakers number one. Warriors, definitely a second team, so no one accused him of that.
No, and again, I'm going to toot my own horn here. I'm going to back my own corner. You know, I grew up in a family that did not have cable, you know, wasn't poor, but it also wasn't, you know, ready enough to have that. So my first NBA basketball experience was going to my uncle's place and watching a game. This is in 2008. I believe it's in 08 or 09. It was the Warriors versus the Lakers. The game went to overtime. The Lakers won. And I saw for the first time Kobe Bryant. That man made me an NBA fan. That man may be a Lakers fan. As much as I respect and I love my hometown, the Bay, I liked Kobe and I liked the way the Lakers played. So for me, since that game from that game. I became a Lakers fan, but I also respected the Warriors. I was a 51-49 fan when it comes to that situation. But to get to this, to go to the main thing when it comes to the Warriors. Dude, when I see this team, I see a lot of old players mixed in with players who don't want to be there. The biggest player, Kuminga. It's official. He re-signed. But Kuminga knows. And I know because Steve Kerr knows. This whole season is going to be... Anybody want Kuminga? You know, Kuminga's right here, man. Like, exactly. See him? They see him score these points? See him dunk? Like, hey, who wants a first rounder for Kuminga? Right, right? And that's going to really going to tank or really improve the Warriors. Either Kuminga's going to go out there to really show out so we can get a bigger contract in the future with a different team, or he's going to basically lower his stock so badly that nobody wants him and the Warriors suffer. I feel like that's a big thing, number one. Number two, your best player you got at a free agency was 40-year-old Al Horford. Al Horford. If I was talking about Atlanta Hawks Al Horford, or even first year, you know, Celtics Al Horford, I'd be excited. Not 40-year-old Al Horford. And then the next player you got, you know, DeAnthony Melton, Seth Curry, you know, Gary Payton II. And I'm really struggling to see who is going to be a difference maker if Curry goes out. Or if Jimmy goes out. You know, who's going to be that? Because Jimmy Butler is notorious for being horrible in the regular season. Basically being lazy. And only turning it up during the offseason. So you have an older Steph Curry. An older Draymond. A really old Al Horford. And you have a Jimmy Butler who's not going to really be trying during the regular season. I want to put them as contender. But all the factors I just said, that means for me, logically, I have to put them as mid. Oh. All right. I was going to say, when it comes to the Warriors, I agree that the max they're going to get is a 5 seed. And 5, when it comes to this sort of season, it's right slap in the middle of mid. So for me, it has to be mid. I'm sorry. I want the Warriors to be contenders, but this season, they're going to be mid.
I was going to say, like, doing this makes me more excited for the basketball season episodes because this was pretty fun. And then, like I said, at some point, guys, we are going to be doing something or an episode about which teams are under the most pressure. And again, if you enjoy this, please give us a follow.